There's only one road, you know, that's to win, you know. I'm really hard on myself. For me, it's simple, you know. My mantra has been go hard or go home. You know, no bullshit, no crybabies, no drama. You want to do it properly, otherwise don't do it.
Bike Radio Podcast advises safety at all times, discourages underage riding, but celebrates the spirit of motorcycling.
And how?
This is Tango Charlie, Green Tea 515, come in, Green Tea.
Good morning, Tango Charlie, this is Easy Peter, Green Tea 515, I'm ready to roll. See you in 5 at the D&D Bay, over and out.
Welcome to the 87th episode of the Biker Radio Broadcast, a podcast on motorcycling from India, celebrating her heroic riders, legendary mechanics, and iconic builders through stories told by members of the community, one legend at a time. I'm Shandy, and despite the fact that my face is perfect for radio, I promise to spare you the horrors and keep my face behind the camera, because this time, we're changing gears and going to video. Why? Well, many of you have been requesting us to at least give it a try. Well, you can't say I didn't, although I managed to turn on the camera a full 2 minutes into this show. And you'll see how I've gone through images to try and fill those first 2 minutes as the story begins. Now, we're very good at audio, but when it comes to video, we're just not it. But let's get this show on the road now, shall we? So there I was at the Outback Festival in Leh, which is usually held in September when the weather is, oh, so pleasant. Riders and festival hunters from all over the country had braved the dodgy roads, obviously most enjoying the lack of them, to the highest motorable adventure and music festival in the world. And there at the sidelines of the festival, I got to meet the fastest Indian rally car driver, Gaurav Gill. Yes, he's an Arjuna awardee. Yes, of course, he's a national champion. Yes, of course, he's a proud dad, a doting husband, a prodigious son and all that. But I mean, the Biker Radio Broadcast is for bikers, right? So just before we sat down for a chat, I told him that we were a motorcycling podcast and we'd use some of his bites for a festival special that we would be doing. Well, he said, okay, but I fell off my yak when he told me that even before he got into the explosive world of car rallies, it was motorcycles that he was excelling in. In fact, that's where the story begins. And hang on, it continues. Gaurav remains a passionate biker to date. Well, I was totally unprepared for this and I had less than half an hour to monopolize. And I promise you this, I we'll have a toolbox full of questions to ask Gaurav the next time we do this. And he's already agreed to it. But for now, please welcome from the Outback Festival to the 87th episode of the Biker Radio Broadcast, National Car Rally Champion and now co-owner of Indian Supercross Racing League team, Gujarat Trailblazers, Gaurav Gill, on the long way home. Gaurav Gill, welcome to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Welcome to the long way home.
Thank you.
I'm so thankful that you found time for our little podcast.
No, always there. No, always happy to talk now. I haven't ever done all of this. I don't do generally much of this talking about my career and life because I'm still focused to go out and win all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel this is for people like you to talk about.
Yeah,
about me and what I'm doing rather than me talking about myself and me still concentrating on
No, it's just so good at listening, you know.
I know, you know, that's exactly why I'm here, because a lot of people convince me to do this and talk about my life because I have so much stuff that has happened through my career.
Yeah. In a quick nutshell, you know.
Yeah.
Who's Gaurav Gill?
Well, it's a long, long story.
Yeah, I know.
Many, many years into professional motorsport, yeah. I would say, because I started very early, very young, when I was probably 15, 16, I started riding motorcycles.
Mm-hmm. And so there is some motorcycle there.
A lot, I'll tell you. Yeah, a lot. A hell of a lot.
Seriously?
Oh, a hell of a lot.
Then we've got to do this all over again.
Yeah, no problem. Anything. So I started, while I was growing up, since I was about 4 or 5 years old, I was playing tennis. Mm. And I played a lot of proper pro tennis up to the ITA league. And
really?
Yeah.
And you grew up in?
I grew up in New Delhi, in the middle of the town in New Rajendranagar.
Oh.
And I grew up in a family who had metallurgy business, and I would say in the desi way, keeda for cars and racing and bikes as well. So
absolutely.
So we were surrounded while growing up. You know, me and my cousin were surrounded by race cars, proper rally bikes, race bikes at home.
So it was in the family already.
Yeah, yeah, of course, for sure. And my mama was a quite well-known driver. In the 80s and 90s, in the Himalayan era. His name was Dickie Gill, so very, very popular guy. Was a member of the Team MRF rally team and the JK Tire rally team. So,
yeah. So
like I said, you know, we had cars around in the house.
Yeah.
And obviously all boys want at that age. We didn't have phones, we didn't have TVs, we didn't have all this crap around us. Yeah. So we only had, you know, a couple of things to focus on. Were cars and sport, you know. And I also come from a family background of professional sports people. So like my uncles, my granddad, they were all, you know, national level divers, swimmers, soccer players. So been in the family forever. And yeah, then I also started a lot of, you know, riding pro BMX, you know, BMX bicycles.
Yeah.
I loved bicycles. And, you know, I remember with me and my friends, I would just tell them, let's go out for a ride in the afternoon at 3 o'clock and then just end up going to GK all the way to meet my cousin on a bicycle. And they would be like, what the hell are you doing? How do we even go back? And, you know, we used to just keep riding for 6 hours a day. And that's how we grew up riding bicycles and jumping all over the streets from New Rajendranagar to GK sometimes and back. So that's how...
For the people who don't know the distances...
Yeah, I was about all good 20 kilometers then. And half of that would be on one wheel because I used to just wheelie out half the way. So I can still do a lot of stuff, you know, on the BMX.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So yeah, from there on...
So the Keeda started there?
Keeda was already there, I think, when I was born. So the BMX was... integral part of my growing up and wheels around me, important wheels, because it taught me so much. You know, the balance, concentration levels, commitment levels, to do, you know, what you want to do and you love to do, picking up something that you love to do. You know, you as a kid, you growing up, you find out what you like, what you love, you know. Nowadays the kids don't know what to do because they have so many distractions around them.
True.
So, you know, I knew, okay, this is what I love to do. And I could ride maybe 50 kilometers a day, out of which, as I said, 25 would be on one wheel. I would just keep trying dumb stuff, you know, all over. Trying to jump over cars, crash. I've crashed, I don't know how many times I've gone to the hospital. Like the doctor was like, okay, he's again here at the, you know, on the bed. This is not crashing from motorcycles. That's going to come later. This is from crashing BMX and mountain bikes. So we used to find different places in Buddha Jayanti Park to go and ride. Yeah, you know. So really go into the forest, go ride out, crash, you know, come back with the bike hanging, broken. So that's how I grew up.
Hi, this is Koka Rao, and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
Hi, this is Adil Jal Darukhanawala, and this is The Long Way Home.
Hi guys, this is Gaurav Gill here and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on. And as I said, I looked at my uncles rallying at the top level in the country and obviously I wanted always to be a rally driver. But then there was a big gap, or rather a big, you know, sort of a barrier between me driving a rally car at that age was I had no license. And for rallying, you need to be 18 years and above.
Yes.
Because you need to drive the rally car on the road as well.
Yeah.
From one sector to the other, yeah, or one stage to the other. You use the public road and the public transport system, and the public laws are, you know, adhere on you.
Yeah.
So we, and I knew I'm 15, I was 15, 16 then, and I was just going nuts. Luckily, I had a car at home that was given to me by my parents to drive around.
Lucky you.
Yeah, yes, yes, absolutely. I thank them for, you know, giving me, doing stupid things to give me the car. I would say today I would not do that to my kids.
Yeah.
But then the time was different, you know, there was hardly any traffic.
And yes.
There was, we weren't going mad unless I would go. So while, you know, I remember so many things, you know. It was a Maruti 800. So I'll tell you how we started. That's a pretty cool story, you know. It's been all over a lot of the magazines and stuff. So me and one of my closest friends, he was a year older than me and he was already driving the cars.
Yeah.
And he also had a few cars at home, so did I. And we had a Maruti van and there was a wedding in the family.
Yeah.
So everyone would go out every day to shop and, you know, to help the family for the wedding. And I called my friend and I said, there's nobody at home. I can see the car keys hanging on the refrigerator. You know, at those times, on the refrigerator.
Yeah, yeah.
So I called my friend Rishi and I said, Rishi, come over quick. So he rode his bicycle as fast as he could. He stayed 500 meters away from my house even today. So he came in and we took the van out and he took out the car from the driveway and he said, okay, come drive. So there's this school behind my house and it had a massive field. And I said, okay, I'll drive. So as soon as I got into the field, I knew I want to do, the first thing I want to do is before I drive, I wanted to do donuts. And my friend thought I'm just absolutely nuts. And he got out of the car and he said, I don't know how you're going to crash yourself or roll it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a part of this. Right. I'm going to stand outside and watch what you do. So I saw a big puddle there. I went to that. I would see all these things on the video, you know,
right,
when I was growing up with my uncles, you know, World Rally Championship videos. So I knew how it's going to happen and how it's going to look. Yeah. But I didn't know how to execute it properly.
Right.
Yeah. I knew how it is supposed to happen.
You'd probably wing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I put the car into the mud patch and I put it in first gear, turned the wheel fully pumped the gas and dumped the clutch and I got some really cool donuts. And my friend was like, holy shit, what the hell is going on? I'm going to freaking roll the van because the van is not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But luckily there was no grip there.
Yeah.
So I did a few donuts and I was just jumping out of joy, you know. And then we went around the neighborhood and I said, okay, now let's put the car back because it's stinking of burnt clutch. So that is when I was 10 years old and he was 11 years old. Or maybe I was 9 and a half, 10 or something like that.
Okay.
And we put the car back inside the driveway and then we realized the car's full of mud.
Right.
And we're going to get caught.
Yeah.
So we had to then wash the car completely. Then we washed the car. The driveway was full of mud. Then we had to clean the driveway and mop the damn driveway.
Completely seen the crime.
Yeah. But we still got caught because I was doing wheel spins and, you know, skids on the driveway.
Right.
So my uncle saw
skid marks
on the driveway. So they caught me.
Standing up for the weaker man. Looking out for what's right. Righteousness, I'd say yes. Righteousness would be Rajput.
I am Vijay Singh and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
Hi, I'm Vijay Parmar, and you're listening to The Long Way Home.
Hi guys, this is Gaurav Gill here and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on. Anyway, so yeah, coming back to the point, you know, I wanted to then obviously drive cars and rallying, but that was not happening because of no license.
Right.
And when I was about 16, I just turned 16, I had this big autocross race in Delhi, sponsored by JK Tyres and Maruti Suzuki.
Mm.
And I got a car from my uncle's friend and his team to drive.
Mm.
And I won that race against some professional guys.
You know,
just like the first race ever. And that's when I got spotted by the big teams
as
a talent. But again, the problem was no license. So they told me to wait another year and a half or something. Then I couldn't wait. And the only option I thought I had was to pick up a motorcycle that my friend had.
There it comes.
And I thought that, okay, now this is the way forward. And this is the way to get into the sport. And I thought, you know, why not just give it a shot? Because I was a really good BMX rider. So I knew all the tricks.
Right.
I knew how the balance works. I knew how to jump the bikes.
Right.
I mean, just 5 minutes into riding, I knew how to control the bike properly. So I turned his bike. I still remember, you know, it was a RX-100 and his parents were like, where the hell is your bike? And he's like, I don't know. Gaurav took it and he's never giving it back, I think, because he couldn't recognize it. We turned it into a Group C bike then. It was a Group C rally version and modified the whole damn thing, changed the color and got it rally ready. So he's like, where the hell did my RX-100 go? I said, just now it's all mine. Now I'm going to use it for rallying. Because my parents were not very friendly when it came to riding bikes or racing bikes.
Right.
They were not very pro.
Right.
Biker thing, you know, they were like, okay, why you want to just crash?
Parents have to be parents.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So they were just being themselves.
Yeah.
So I started riding and I did pretty good. I went to one race in Chandigarh. I was really quick. I was fastest. I was doing fastest stage times, first rally of my life ever, but I crashed and I ended up in the hospital for some sutures in my thigh.
Mm.
So that was that. And I understood. So there was this person called Mr. Garcha. He's a very well-known old motocross rider who used to do a lot of big events. So he said, you are really good. Why don't you pursue it properly and, you know, do it professionally? So I convinced my mother to buy me a YZ125.
Okay.
Motocross bike. And I went.
Mother.
Yeah. And my mother said, okay, fine. I mean, just go for it. So, by that time, my mother was single. She and my parents were together.
Okay.
So, it was good on her to, you know, even trust me like that.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. She said, okay, fine, do whatever you want. There's only one shot you've got.
Mm.
And if you don't make it here, you're going back to the factories and looking after the family business. I said, if I make it, I'm not going to go to the factory. And I'm going to, only do this. She said, fine, we'll see that later. Because she never thought I'm going to make it, you know.
So thanks to motorcycling, we have Gaurav Gill.
Yes, absolutely. My entire life, my career started with motorcycles and bikes. So whatever
very
I am
today.
Very
few people know about this.
No one knows about it at all, I think.
I'm privileged to get that story out.
Yeah. So I picked up that YZ125. Wow. I dumped it on a truck. I sat in the truck and I went to Chandigarh to attend a national championship motocross supercross race.
Okay.
Yeah. And all the big teams were there. So the
which
factory,
is this?
Yamaha,
is this the Shojoba or something?
No. This is a national supercross and motocross championship was happening then.
Okay.
This is not rallying. So this is supercross. You know, when you jump the bikes high in the air.
Yes.
On the track.
Yeah.
On gravel track with big jumps. So I went to Chandigarh and I did my practice sessions and there was factory TVS team with all the pro, like national champion riders, like who've been riding for 15 years and winning like 10 championships.
Right.
And Yamaha riders and other, you know, privateers who were really good. And I'm this 16 and a half year old boy who's just come with his own bike.
Yeah.
White color, plain bike with no graphics, no nothing.
Yeah.
And I won the overall race.
Oh my God.
Yes. And I beat the factory teams and I beat all the other guys to win the race overall.
Hi, this is Mandy Marwa and you're listening to Biker Radio Rodcast.
Hi, this is Aniket Vardhan of the Musket B-Twin and this is The Long Way Home.
Hi guys, this is Gaurav Gill here and you're listening to the Biker Radio Rodcast. Listen, connect, ride on.
So, the question here, what is that fuel? Is it something that you already know what you want or do you see the future actually?
For
me, clairvoyant?
For me it's just there's only one road, you know, that's to win, you know. I have no options that I don't give my I'm really hard on myself.
Right.
I've always been like that. For me, it's simple. You know, my mantra has been go hard or go home. You know, no bullshit, no crybabies, no drama. You want to do it, you do it properly. Otherwise, don't do it.
Yeah, the no drama part of it is very noticeable.
Yeah.
I think that's the most noticeable part of you.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, that's how I've been. And, you know, if I set out to do something, I'll just want to win. You know, there's no... For me, how I grew up and taught myself... Because I had nobody to teach me ever for all these things. I always taught myself that when you come for a second, you're the first loser. And when you come third, you're the second loser. So you have only one option to win.
Nice, nice way to put it, buddy.
Yeah. So always like that. So I won that race. The TVS factory team boss was there. His name was Mr. Arvind Pragonkar. that time he was heading the team. He took the, you know, those handycam days, you remember?
Yes, handycam.
So he called me and he opened his handycam, started recording, saying that we have a new rider who's beaten us, our team, entire team.
Right.
And I'm going to offer Gaurav Gill to come up, be a part of our team, to be a lead rider for the TVS factory team.
Wow.
Yes. So that's how I changed my, and kick started my career.
Wow.
Yes. I got offered a ride from the factory and I knew I could do this because I don't need a license to do this.
Right.
So that was the
main. Worked.
Yeah.
That worked till you got the license.
Yes. Actually, it did. And so I did a few races there, here and there. And then I did rallying with the TVS guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to put this on air or not.
Yeah, but sure,
I had,
sure.
I had a fake license then.
Sure.
We used to all have fake licenses. Yeah, I don't know if you want to put it.
No, no, it's perfect.
So
right.
I managed to get a license from Faridabad.
Yeah.
And I paid some guy to make me look like I'm 18. And I started racing. And the first rally I did was a very noticeable rally, very popular. It's called the Popular Rally.
Okay.
From Cochin. It's a very difficult rally because it's on tarmac and it's really fast and a lot of rain and stuff. I went out there and I won the whole rally and I came overall fourth in a normal Group D Shogun.
So really?
Yeah. And that was like the big highlight of my career as well. And the factory was like, wow. Because you don't come overall fourth in a normal showroom condition bike, you know.
Right.
When you're racing against proper Group C.
Right.
So this is have twice the horsepower. Bone stock. Even the shocks were not allowed.
Right.
And I came overall fourth with overall second fastest stage times, you know, multiple stage times. And that was a big move in my life, which pushed me up. So from there, I got a Group C bike. I got the license from the federation to ride more powerful bikes because they saw that I can very quickly adapt to, the bigger machines. So from there,
it's quite like archery. You're fighting against yourself now by then.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. That's also one of the main things, you know, for me. Like I said, you know, no bullshit. So for me, I'm the biggest competitor.
Yeah.
I am myself the biggest competitor. Because
rallying, the only two sports I see it in, golf and archery.
Yes, also. Here also, if you see rallying is a sport, you know, people say that, yes, I'm competing. You know, you're obviously competing in every sport. But first here, who are you competing against? You know, you're competing against the clock.
Yes.
And you can never beat it.
Yes.
So you got to be, you know, as wise.
Yes.
And make the most of it.
Yeah.
And be the most efficient as you can be.
Right.
And when you're rallying and when you do all these motorsport, you know, you're always using a machine.
Right.
You know, you're on a machinery.
Yeah.
So you got to minimize your mistakes.
Right.
So the person who minimizes or does the least amount of mistakes wins. That's the concept of riding at a pro level and driving at a pro level.
Right.
Everyone makes mistakes, you know. And you have to make the least amount of mistakes.
Right.
So that's how you win. That's how you get into the winning streak.
Hi, this is Harshman Rai and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
Hi, I'm Candida Lewis, and this is The Long Way Home.
Hi guys, this is Gaurav Gill here, and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen. Connect right on.
So the motorcycling story ends there, or did you pick up?
No, it is. So from there, I went on to the Group C bikes and I won some stuff. And then I was competing against the factory Yamaha guys, my good friends.
Mm.
And I crashed very badly in Calcutta. And I ended up in the hospital and completely shattered my ankle, left ankle. I had to go through a major surgery.
Oh my God.
So I still have like 12, 14 screws on both sides of my ankle with plates, both sides.
From motorcycling days?
Yeah, it's one of the accidents. Mm. One of the many ones that I had.
Mm.
Then from there, obviously, I was bedridden for a few months. And then I turned 18 and I started driving cars with JK Tire. So they took me on as their prodigy.
Yeah.
So introduced me to rallying. So when I started driving, just after my accident, the doctor told me to recover in 7-8 months, but I was already in a rally car in 3 months driving. And I won the first rally, becoming the youngest ever person in the country to win at 18 years and some few weeks.
Spectacular stuff.
And then again, I went back to riding more.
Well, you did.
Yeah, with Yamaha. Then I was with Yamaha. Then again, I had some crashes and I busted my knee very badly. So my entire knee, tibula, plateau is built and I've got 4-5 screws even now when I'm talking to you. Then I again, once I fell on my wrist and I had external fixatures on my wrist.
All right.
So mega.
And how did mom take all of this?
Well, the good thing about all this was my mom, when I used to leave my house, she used to say, you better win or, you know, don't come back.
Oh my God.
So that's the attitude we have at home.
Wow. Generally.
So that was how it's been. And, you know, I think most of it came from her because she was a really strong woman because she was alone at that time.
Yeah.
And she was single parent and I have no siblings. So I was alone.
Oh my God.
And, you know, she understood the fact that there was no point cribbing or crying with this fellow because he's still going to go and do it.
Right.
Might as well support him in the right way.
Absolutely.
And give him more confidence.
Yeah.
So I think it's a big boost to my life and my career with, you know, having a parent like that.
Yeah.
It's unheard of. Even when I was growing up in school, everyone thought that, you know, I'm a loser and, you know, I'm not going to do anything because I'm a backbencher and what the hell does he keep doing this dumb stuff, you know, driving around.
Thank God for school.
And now that this, the same school keeps inviting me to launch all the big things. Then I'm like, I have no time for it now.
Hi, this is Bobby Singh and you are listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast.
Hi, I'm Sharad Sharma, and this is The Long Way Home.
Take the long way home. Take the long way home. Take the long way home.
Hi guys, this is Gaurav Gill here, and you're listening to the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on. You know, so many surgeries, and there's one small thing I'll just tell you, the last one.
Yeah.
I busted my right knee very badly and I had to go, I went into surgery at this hospital, and so my family found out that the doctor was not good enough to, you know, operate on my knee.
Okay.
And bring me back to the normal athletic or sports person's career, right?
Mm.
So I was in the OT. And I woke up and I saw that there was a hole in the in my ankle on my right leg, and it was hanging upside you know, at the end of the bed. And I spoke to the doctor and I said, did you even do the surgery, because I don't see anything on my knee. Because I obviously it's supposed to be cut up and chopped up and put together, so it was not there, and there was a rod at the end of my on my ankle. And he said, no, your family said no, you don't want to do it. So I found out later that, you know, my family just didn't want him to, you know, operate on me. So we did, we picked up, you know, this whole, they made this issue that, it's not an auspicious day and for his surgery, so please don't do it today. And then we moved to another hospital and I found Dr. Gulati. He's a Padma Shri.
Yes.
And he's a sports medicine surgeon.
Yes.
And I became really close to him and good friends with him. So when I went to him, you know what he said? He said, you know, now this rod has been put into your leg just to get a bill, you know, for the OT.
Okay.
So now I have to give you anesthesia again tomorrow, and then we have to wait for 4 days. So I said, I'm not going to wait for 4 days. Because that time I was fighting for the Asia Pacific title. And I said, every day that I'm spending away from my track and my driving, I'm losing out my rallies, my, you know, championships, and the team's hating all this because it's not what they, you know, I signed up to do.
Yeah.
And generally on our contracts, we have like all this dumb stuff. You cannot be doing breaking your bones and, you know,
right.
Because it cost the companies a lot of money.
Absolutely.
Because they're putting so much money on you.
Yeah.
So I told Dr. Gulati, what's the way out? So he just jokingly said, I'll just pull the rod out like this without anesthesia.
Oh, and you said?
I said, yes. I said, go ahead.
Go ahead.
He said, are you sure? I said, did you do it before? He said, yeah, of course, I'm a surgeon.
Yeah.
I've done it before for some army guys, you know,
yeah,
and stuff like that. I said, just go for it. I can't wait 3 days. So.
Sure.
So he said, okay, I'll be back in half an hour. So I, about 8-10 nurses turned up. They tied me to a metal bed.
Right.
And they gave me a big chunk of cotton to put in my mouth to,
right,
you know, so I don't cut my tongue.
Right.
And he took a couple of pliers and he just told me, let's go. And I said, let's go.
Wow.
And he just pulled the damn rod. It's I still have that rod. It's about 12 inches.
Wow.
He pulled it out of my leg without any anesthesia. And then after that, he said, I actually didn't do that before. This is the first time.
How did I know that?
I was like, God damn it. You know, I could feel the vibrations inside my brain from my spine everywhere. You know, like when he was just twisting and taking out the rod.
Yeah.
And from there on, he and me became really, really close friends because he saw the, you know, amount of dedication and commitment I had for my sport.
Yeah,
it was beyond pain, beyond imagination, beyond anything that I would think of. And then he told me that, you know, you're going to take about 9-10 months to get your surgery, you know, proper, so that you can, it's going to take 9 months of rehab to properly get back on into your racing car. And I turned up into his clinic in 3 months and 3 weeks saying that this is my ticket, I'm going to Japan tomorrow. And he stood up and he said, what the hell, how are you even walking?
Yeah.
So I said, I've been doing just physiotherapy all day,
right,
eating the right diet, doing so much of hydrotherapy, and you know, I just did my own research and I started working on it. And he did a full thesis on me,
right,
that how can a man overcome, you know, all this when he has you know, when he's committed, when he's got the willpower to make it happen.
Yeah.
And even today, you know, he invites me to talk and to, you know, and to show my study that how I, you know, defied his 9-month rehab program and cut it down to 3 months. And I was already, I came third in Japan and I dedicated my trophy to him. I told him.
Amazing.
Yeah, you know, that this is for you. You know, I came third. I was still limping in pain, but I still went to Japan and I raced and I came third.
You must have come back and said, arigato.
Yeah, arigato gozaimasu.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a bit of one of the most important stories of my life.
Okay, so any motorcycling still happening? Do you occasionally?
Yeah, I just rode. In fact, as we speak, I just got a message from the Ducati guys. I was interested in picking up a Desert X, which is the new Ducati.
Yeah.
Because I'm a rally guy and I still, I can still do some motocross.
Okay.
And I still do, once a year, I still ride a little bit. So it's not bad, you know, I'm happy with that. And I just want to add that, you know, there's this new Supercross League which is coming up.
Okay.
And I'm happy and proud to share that I'm a co-owner of one of the big teams. So I'll have my own team, a Supercross team, and we have our own facility to, you know.
Where is this?
In Delhi.
Oh,
so, but the championship is going to happen all over the country.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so good you said that, you know, this is on.
Yeah.
And motorcycling still finds more than place in your heart.
Oh, absolutely. I'm always a biker at heart.
So
it's
therefore
just that I'm a little scared of crashing and ending up in the hospital and you know, bumming my career, which is the main, the big picture.
Absolutely. So we have this one question which we ask a lot of people, and is that if you had the opportunity to ride with anyone from history or from contemporary times, even from imagination, you know, who could that one person be?
For me, it's very simple. You know, I've had really good friends all my life.
Yeah.
Who are still my friends since I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
I would really like to ride and spend more time with my friends only. Friends are first for me always.
How about the guy who lent you that RX?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I'm still friends with everyone.
Yeah.
And I invited all of my friends here, but none of them could make it because of their busy schedules.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go back and again reunite with them as soon as we can.
I think I'm getting phone calls for you to land up at the festival.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Thank you so much for making time.
Pleasure.
And thank you so much, Gaurav Gill, for being on the Biker Radio broadcast.
Loved it. Thank you for having me here. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hi, my name is Malkeet Singh Hunjan, of the legendary Sikh Riders of Canada, and you are listening to Biker Radio Broadcast.
Well, that's it from the 87th episode of the Biker Radio Broadcast, our first attempt at a video podcast. And thank you so much, Gaurav Gill, for taking time out at the Outback Festival and doing this. And to everybody from Yellow Stage who make this the world's highest motorable adventure and music festival come alive. We'll be eager to hear from you wherever you come across us. If you like it, do share it with your friends. A follow on Instagram will be a great shot in the arm. And head over to BikerRadioRodcast.com to experience 86 other episodes that we have published till date. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, Google, and all other podcast platforms. I'm Shandy, and I'll see you again on the 88th episode. Until then, be good. And if you can't be good, be careful. And lastly, a big thank you to you for spending time with us. Time to sign off.
on India's most savored motorcycling podcast, the Biker Radio Broadcast. Listen, connect, ride on.